to the Woj and Lowe trade deadline special. I'm Zach Lowe. This is NBA insider extraordinaire Adrian Wojnarowski. There are 21 hours and 59 minutes and some amount of seconds left for the NBA to lose its mind one last time until it loses its mind again in July. Woj, how you doing?
Zach, I'm great. We're almost there.
We're almost there. So we have to start with the biggest story in the entire league, which is Anthony Davis and what is going to happen with Anthony Davis. The Lakers have an offer on the table. Right. The Pelicans don't like that offer enough. There are 21 hours left to go. Do you expect one last? Are the Lakers really out, or can they go back in?
The Lakers are losing some hope here that New Orleans is ever going to really engage them. I mean, it's really been twice that the Lakers have kind of bid against themselves. The one thing you don't want to do in negotiations, you want to make an offer, you want to get an offer back. And New Orleans has really given the Lakers no guidance as to what it would take, if anything. And I think the message that the Lakers have started to get really since early this week is that this team doesn't want to do a deal with us. And they kind of know that feeling. They went through this with the Spurs and even the Pacers 2 years ago with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George.
It does. Now, everything changes minute by minute at this time of year. But right now, the momentum seems to be going against the trade. These reports keep coming out about Boston has made it clear, without mentioning any specific names, because it's a very delicate situation for them, that they will have a monster offer on the table. And you do hear this buzz from other teams who have talked to the Pelicans that there are people in that organization, whoever they are, maybe the NFL guys who come from kind of a different culture, right, that are just like, no, just no, we're not caving, and we're not caving to that team. And that's an element that the Lakers are going to have to overcome here, right?
Yeah, there's no question. There's a feeling in ownership, upper management, you know, basketball ops, in New Orleans, that they just don't want to give in to a trade demand to a team in L.A. That he can't get to until the summer of 2020. And listen, there are a lot of front offices around the league, owners around the league, rooting for New Orleans to hold pat. Now, some of them want to get it, Anthony Davis.
Some of them want to get in on
there's
this.
It's you know, there's some selfish agendas there in that way. But Dell Demps, their GM, he's not even really. He's not once picked up the phone back and said, okay, it would be 4 first-round picks, 5 first-round picks. Now,
that hasn't happened? That
he hasn't given them, hit this number, give me these players, give me this amount of picks. Now, what he's expected all along was the Lakers would absolutely have to overwhelm us with an offer. But he hasn't defined to them what that would be. I think there was a sense in there that I was told it needed to start at 4 first-round picks. Right now, the Lakers are at 2, and I don't think they're going to 3 unless there's a negotiation here. You know what players they can give. They can get any combination of players they want in New Orleans. And exactly, they're looking at a team that, without LeBron James, has not played well in the last month, and they're saying, is that our future in New Orleans? Do these players give us a chance, you know, to recoup, you know, the value of the best, you know, one of the best 2 or 3 players in the NBA?
Well, with LeBron James, they laid down and died in Indiana last night. You know who they look like? They look like the Cleveland Cavaliers last season before the trade deadline when everyone knew they were going to get traded. And LeBron was like, can we please trade some of these guys? Look, you mentioned 3 draft picks. You know how this works. New Orleans will seize on the Tobias Harris trade, which we'll talk about later, and say, hey, look, they got 2 first-round picks for Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is a good player. This is Anthony Davis. Now, they would also be getting a lot of good young players for Anthony Davis that weren't necessarily in the Harris deal. But you know how that'll work. And you said 3 picks. I can just, that seems like the landing spot where you have said this before. The Pelicans will have a moment of truth before 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. 3 picks feels like the landing spot where they have to have the moment of truth. That feels fair to me.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, what awaits them in the offseason is the possibility of, you know, perhaps, you know, 3 picks from Boston that are better picks, that potentially are picks that could be higher in the draft. You know, where these Laker picks land, you know, they don't know. And here's another thing. Even if you did this deal with the Lakers after the season, if you give them Anthony Davis now and that team gets on a run, maybe finishes out of the lottery, and you're going to end up with their pick anyway, why not let them not play well through the rest of the year, end up in the lottery, and we'll get a higher pick if we decide to do this deal with the Lakers in the summer? Because the feeling with New Orleans has been, whatever the Lakers offer is now, it's still going to be there for us later. The Lakers have tried to push back on that, but I do think the Pels believe that.
That is the fundamental reality that the Lakers have to push back on it. I'm not sure they can in a way that the Pelicans will believe it, but they've tried. I just want to say that if they got the three picks, that's a real offer. Like, there's this perception that the Lakers, because they have the leverage, they have Rich Paul, Anthony Davis's agent, and LeBron's agent pushing a lot of buttons, that they can lowball the Pelicans, or they're trying to lowball the Pelicans. If you have Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, Ball, and three first-round picks in a deal, that is a real offer. Three future first-round picks from any team, I don't care who's on that team, you cannot predict what kind of calamity might befall a team in 6 years when that last pick conveys. That's a real offer, and I think they would have to at least have a serious conversation about it, even if they are adamant that they don't want to do it.
Right, and what they're balancing is the practical, you know, the practical nature of thinking that way. This is maybe as good as we're going to get, or we don't want to put our organization through the next three or four months. It puts a lot of stress on an organization to go through this, and the rest of the season with Anthony Davis, where they won't decide whether they won't know whether they want him to play or not play, but. There's also, too, the pride. And you know, this is a proud community. And again, you said it. This is a team. They're run. Mickey Loomis at the very top is a football general manager. There's a different culture in football. Football has a much more power over players. It is an owner, general manager, coach-dominated league. The NBA is a player's league. And I do think that factors into some of this of simply, we're not going to just give in now. We're going to play this out. We're not going to give you what you want right now, and I think that's part of this, too.
Now, the thing that has opened the door for the Lakers to at least play the card of, hey, maybe this offer isn't there in July, is what Kyrie Irving has said in the last week in Boston, indicating that he's not certain anymore, that there's now questions about whether he's going to re-sign, because the Lakers then can say, hey, look, if Boston thinks Kyrie is out, are they really going to offer Jason Tatum? Are they really going to offer the mother load, knowing that maybe Kyrie isn't going to be there? Because Kyrie is the carrot. Kyrie is the guy guys want to play with. Kyrie is the thing that makes Anthony Davis a cinch to stay instead of going elsewhere. That has thrown the tentacles of this are everywhere. But that's the Boston. Now, Boston seems confident. They always seem confident. But that's cracked open the door a little bit for the Lakers to at least make a little bit of a desperate play.
Right. And Boston can't do the trade now because, you know, under the collective bargaining agreement, they can't have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis on the roster at the same time until after July 1. And you're right. When Kyrie seemed like he might be unfastened from that commitment he made earlier in the year to Boston, I think with the sense in Boston that getting Anthony Davis in a trade may be what is necessary to keep Kyrie Irving, that Boston has to start looking at this trade this way. We aren't just trading for Anthony Davis. We aren't just putting a package of players and assets together to get AD. We're doing it to get AD and Kyrie Irving. And that's how they have to look at it. And I think you look then at Jason Tatum. Listen, nobody in Boston wants to imagine having Jason Tatum but no AD and no Kyrie Irving. You would take the two, obviously. And the fact that they gave up so little, really, for Kyrie Irving, I think they have to look at this as one big trade.
Well, and fans in Boston don't want to imagine that they will have to include Jason Tatum in a deal for Anthony Davis. But that may be the reality. That is the trump card. That is the trade piece that no other team that's in the bidding now. Right. There may be other teams that get in the bidding later. That's the piece that he's a better prospect right now than anyone on the Lakers. That's what the Pelicans would wait for. The Celtics can't explicitly promise it now. Right. They can certainly imply it. But that's the offer that they would wait for if they do. But, so, you know, the bird in the hand is powerful in a league that changes every 5 seconds. That's powerful.
And one of the, there's a lot of elements that Dell Demps wants in a deal in New Orleans, their general manager. One of them is one player in all of this that has a chance to be an all-NBA player. And as you know, there's a difference between an all-NBA player and an all-star player. And maybe Lonzo Ball could be an all-star. Maybe Brandon Ingram. Maybe someday they could make an all-star team or two. But Jason Tatum has all NBA potential, and he is, I think, in this whole process, if New Orleans thinks they can get at Tatum, it's more of a reason for them to wait and not do this deal by tomorrow.
Well, and the kind of player you just described that's a tier below was the centerpiece of a monster trade last night, Tobias Harris being traded from the Clippers to the Sixers in a deal that really kind of stunned the league, I thought. And that's what we'll talk about when we come back. You know, that's an interesting one, and we'll get all dig into that and all the other Anthony Davis tentacles. 21 hours, 48 minutes, and some amount of seconds But there's always one big one that comes before the deadline day. There's always one night before trade or two nights before trade. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Tobias Harris has been the centerpiece of two of them. The one that brought him to Detroit a few years ago, which was inexplicable at the time, came, I think, 3 days before. So here we are.
Yeah. And of all the trades that I've ever reported on, I don't ever remember a night where they were calling players to tell them they had been traded at 2 in the morning, 2:15 a.m. That was a unique one.
Can they at least be courteous to the people on the East Coast who are maybe trying to get a little sleep? Can they just wait a few more hours? I don't need to wake up at 4 in the morning for this. There's the trade. You see it on the screen. There's like 9,000 names up there and a lot of draft picks. It is a bold, bold play, I think, for both teams. Mm-hmm. It could be a win-win in the end. I think it's clearly a win for the Clippers to get this much value. Two first-round picks, including the Heat's unprotected 2021 pick for a guy who's on an expiring deal and very clearly not in their long-term plans. Let's talk about the other side of it. Right. Philly now has four guys who could reasonably say we are max players or deserve max contracts. Three of them will be up in free agency pretty soon. What's the play here? Are they really keeping all four of these guys? Is this just all in to make the finals right now?
Philadelphia's management ownership, since the moment the trade was finished, was the plan is to sign Harris and Jimmy Butler in free agency.
The three incumbent stars there supposedly were like, yeah, we like this deal. Go do it, right?
Yeah, listen, it gives them a starting five as formidable as anybody's in the East. But financially, it's hard to pay three guys. But the idea of paying four, Ben Simmons will be up for his extension next year.
And Elton Brand has already said, that's not a negotiation.
He's
you don't negotiate
player.
That one.
And so, but listen, I mean, but we're going to be honest here and know that this is also an insurance policy. If Jimmy Butler decides to leave in free agency, or if Jimmy Butler and the Sixers can't come to terms on years, on money, and the same with Tobias Harris.
Absolutely.
If they potentially were to lose him, they gave up more for Tobias Harris, much more than they did for Jimmy Butler. Now, one player is 30 years old, Tobias Harris is 26.
Big threes are fairly common. Three big max players that take up your whole salary cap. Big fours are harder to manage both financially and on the floor. And you can say all you want. Look, man, if Tobias Harris is your fourth best player, that's a home run team. And we can stagger our minutes so that they all get to be the alpha dog or the number two guy a lot. Four guys who need the ball, who like to have the ball, is still going to be a lot to juggle. There are still, I think, a little bit diminishing returns in having a fourth best player as highly paid and as good as Tobias Harris, who's just not going to get to do as much of the stuff he normally gets to do. Golden State has made the big four work because Klay Thompson literally doesn't need to dribble, and Draymond Green is fine averaging 6 points a game because he's maybe the best defensive player in the league and a brilliant passer. That is hard to replicate, and I am fascinated to see how they make this fit, because no matter what they say, four is hard in money and in basketball.
It felt like they had gone, when they did the Jimmy Butler trade, it was, somewhat of a concession that we aren't maybe the free agent destination we thought we were. They were a team that had salary cap space. They said, we're going to go out and get that guy now. And now to do this and give up what essentially has been maybe the most valuable trade asset in the league the last couple of years, that unprotected Miami 2021 pick. Nobody quite knows what state the organization will be in 2021 there. And so, that pick went to Phoenix, and then it goes from Phoenix to Philly, and then obviously to the Clippers now. That's a big chip, and Brett Brown had said when they traded for it, we're going to use that to go get a player, and they did. And now that thing flips to the Clippers, and they have a chance to use that to go get a big star who may want to leave his market, go to L.A., go to a major metro, and now the Clippers are in play for the next Anthony Davis who comes down the road.
Or this Anthony Davis. The thing I want to emphasize about this trade, and we'll get to the Clippers in a second, is people have already forgotten about Markelle Fultz. He's gone. He's over here on the side. He has whatever the shoulder problem is called. I can't remember. He is patient zero of all of this. The number one pick has given them zero. If he's good, they build around those three guys. They have cap space. They have all these draft assets that they've thrown away. Not thrown away, because they've gotten good players, but Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, those guys aren't on the team if Markelle Fultz is a normal number one pick. Right. People have already forgotten that. That single failure has explained all of the sort of wild deal-making that has happened since. And by the way, he might get traded again tomorrow. He might get traded tomorrow.
There's a chance. I mean, teams like Atlanta, Orlando, they've talked with Philadelphia on Markelle Fultz. I think there's a real possibility he's played his last game with the Sixers, but they, you know, they've got until 3 p.m. on Thursday to figure that out. But it's been an experiment, and you say, like, not only did they miss on the number one pick, they traded a future first round pick to move up two spots, which you almost never do in a draft. They did.
There will be a book written about Markelle Fultz one way or another. Let's talk about the Clippers really quickly. They have now effectively turned Blake Griffin into five picks and other stuff. Landry Shamet, by the way, don't overlook Landry Shamet. He's like a little baby J.J. Redick running around. They've done great work. It seems like trying to get into the Anthony Davis sweepstakes now, it's too soon. These players have to get traded and do their physicals. But is it something they could revisit as soon as this summer?
Yeah, they certainly have the picks now that would certainly intrigue the Pelicans. Do they have a player or two that could be part of a core going forward there? They didn't rule out Anthony Davis when they did this trade, but they were thinking a little further down the road. They want to get into free agency this summer. We know who their number one target is. It's Kawhi Leonard. They want to bring him home to Southern California. They've got a great opportunity to do that. And then having part of it with the Clippers has been they've been so good for so long, they haven't drafted high. And be honest, they haven't drafted well with the other picks, so they haven't built up young players that they could use in deals like this. And now they've replenished it with this Philadelphia trade, and the Clippers are set going forward to really compete with the Lakers, especially as LeBron James ages in L.A., to become a team, you know, not just good in the short term, but sustainable over a long period. Lawrence Frank, Mike Winger, their front office have really revitalized that organization.
Yeah, they've done a great job, and I'm fascinated to see where they go from here. Coming up, though, and I don't think they're done dealing, by the way. They could still sell. They could still buy. Hot take, I think they can actually still make the playoffs if Gallinari comes back and they don't sell off more guys. We will bounce around the league to all the other teams that are active coming up after this next break. Memphis, pour one out for Grit and Grind. It's over. Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, one of my favorite duos to watch, a team near and dear to my heart. One or both seems likely to move. Any latest chatter on that?
Yeah, I think right now Gasol's more likely to move. And they've been talking with Charlotte. They talked through last night into today, trying to find a combination of players among the Hornets to move in a deal. I think there'll be a protected first-round pick in any deal there. Yeah, or why are you doing it? And then Gasol's going to have to decide, does he opt out of his $25 million a year deal next year, or can he get anything close to that on the market and do another 2 or 3 year deal, or does he opt in and stay with the, if it's the Hornets or anybody else, for another year? And Mike Conley, you know, Utah has been lurking out there. They haven't engaged a great deal with Memphis on Conley, but I think they're going to talk more between now and tomorrow's deadline.
Let's rescue Mike Conley. He's too good to wither on a dying team. Next team in the lightning round, Toronto Raptors, Kawhi's free agency looming. Kyle Lowry whispers that there have been trade talks. Philly deal putting pressure on the other teams in the East. Anything cooking?
I think Masai Ujiri has looked to see where he could upgrade. I think the hard part for him on upgrading with that team is OG Anunoby, Siakam. He's not parting with those players to bring in, you know, win now guys who might line up age-wise with Kawhi. But I think it's going to be harder for them to make an impact move because he can't go all in with this group and have Kawhi Leonard walk out the door and have traded one of his really good young assets. He gave, you know, the Spurs have their pick this year from the Kawhi trade. I think they may make a move around the edge here, but I don't think right now they have anything big. They did talk with Memphis a little bit, but it never got serious and nothing really made sense there.
If they're not willing to put Siakam or Anunoby in, they're not going to get a big upgrade.
Right.
Let's go to the only team in the league with meaningful cap space, the Sacramento Kings, the fighting over 500 Sacramento Kings. They have $11 million in space. They are hot after a bigger wing, a big small forward, an Otto Porter. I think Harrison Barnes is in their crosshairs a little bit. Can they actually pull this off without sort of compromising future picks and cap space and all that?
I think Otto Porter's a tough one. Washington still wants a lot back. I mean, listen, nobody knows what John Wall's future is going to be. He's not going to be traded.
It's so
he
sad.
May never be traded. And Bradley Beal, they still want to keep him and try to build around him. And so I think they've been open on Otto Porter, but they've asked for a lot. And we'll see here down the stretch in the last 24 hours is when, especially for a player like Porter, You know, those kind of conversations may get more serious.
Yeah, that feels like down to the wire. They've gotten more open to at least talking about Porter mm-hmm. than they were 3-4 days ago. They're like, right. They'll listen now.
Right.
Last one. Everyone forgets they took Golden State to 7 games last year. The Houston Rockets, they have all their picks. They offered 4 of them for Jimmy Butler, what feels like 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do something, right? I mean, it's like a lock that they're going to get somebody.
Yeah, they've been shopping around, you know, Brandon Knight, and essentially it's a contract they're moving, not so much a player anymore. Although I think he can still play a role on a team somewhere, not as impactful in Houston where they've got all world guards, and a draft pick. And can that get them some depth? They had talked with Memphis about Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple. You know, Alec Burks is a player who's out there, you know, possibly for them. And, you know, some other wings and role players to start to give them a little more depth on their bench. Those are the kind of deals the Rockets are looking at.
They've also got, I think, $3.9 million of their taxpayer mid-level to spend on the buyout market, and they'll be active if, like, a Wes Matthews or name a guy, they'll be active for all those guys. That's it for the lightning round. Coming up, we're going to talk about a team we haven't mentioned much, the Golden State Warriors, the future of Kevin Durant, and the big market New York Knicks always dreaming of something. So the biggest unanswered question to me of this whole trade deadline so far is, if the Lakers don't get Anthony Davis now and they don't get him in the summer because someone else jumps in, what is the plan B? Who is the star player who's coming to play with LeBron in L.A.? Because if you go through the list of guys who are free agents, I don't think the Lakers are a front runner right now for any of them. Now, some of them are going to have to settle for their second or third choice. But do we have any idea what plan B is?
You know, one scenario that the Lakers would be rooting for, is for Golden State to not offer Klay Thompson a max contract, try to get him to take a little less, and that might turn Klay's attention to L.A. But the Warriors know that. They've got a lot of money, and they know that's a guy who doesn't want to leave them.
Well, and by the way, Klay should absolutely look at what they did for Steph Curry and say, hey, I'm a splash brother too. I'm like a founding father of this team. You took care of him. I played hurt in the finals. I'm an Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Take care of me too. I'm not maybe not as good as him, but I deserve it. I deserve the same treatment. And then looming over all of this is the biggest free agent on the board. Kevin Durant hasn't spoken to the media now for eight and a half days and counting. The Knicks noise is really, really loud. What do we make of this? I mean, if he's in play for the Knicks, that changes the entire landscape of the league.
Yeah, and listen, the Warriors are preparing for the possibility that he's going to leave, and they're going to have to reconfigure this dynasty without him. They hope he stays, but you said it, Zach. New York is a real possibility, and I think the Clippers, too, if he wants to stay on the West Coast, I don't think he'll go to L.A. He'll go to the Lakers with LeBron.
Two teams that, you know, Clippers and Knicks with the Porzingis trade obviously opened up a lot of flexibility. Durant can pick his running mate, and that looms over everything, and the playoffs loom over everything. 21 and a half hours, we'll get some answers.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.